Stanley Finzen Games hotline to bring on Braden Gall of Athlon Sports and the Cover 2 podcast. Braden, another day of waiting, but it is July 1st and sports is set to return. So how excited are you for today?
You mean as a Mets fan getting to pay Bobby Bonilla $1 million? It's like one of my favorite holidays of the year, for sure.
Spoiler alert, we do a power ranking every day at the end of the show, our power poll, and in honor of Bobby Bonilla Day, we're going to rank the top five most overpaid athletes of all time.
Yep. No, I'm aware. It's the contract you can't outrun as a fan.
Hey, Jeremy Pruitt was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, Braden, and had kind of just said that Tennessee at this point in time is very fortunate because they've had no positive COVID-19 tests for the players. They do plan on retesting them after this three-day holiday weekend. How do you take in that information, and what do you think that it means in the grand scheme of what everybody's dealing with?
I'm not really sure what it means. I mean, other than awesome, right? Like, it's awesome news, and heck, we could all use a little good news right now. So I think it's great that that is the case. I'm excited about that. I think much like with every football program, you know, the NHL players who can't stop from going out at night and keep testing positive. Like, it's still, you know, you're worried about a bunch of kids going back and doing whatever they do on a three-day weekend, like you mentioned, a holiday weekend where, you know, and it's funny, like, this is an experience I had just like last weekend. There was a bunch of people over next door to us, fairly young, probably mid-20s, and probably 20 people at this house. And all of them are wearing masks at the start of the evening. And I'm like, oh, look at that. The guys got men and women doing the right things, being responsible. And by the time, you know, my wife and I went to bed pretty early, it was probably like 11 o'clock or something, and we had some friends on the back porch, and we're having porch beers, and we go inside. My friends leave, and we go to bed, and it's 11 o'clock. And by that time, it's like a scene off the strip. Like, they're out on the back porch and they got their arms around each other and they're talking louder. And it's what happens when young people get together, and you just sort of lose control of the diligence. Right. And it just sort of happens on its own. It doesn't happen because you're affiliated with a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't happen because you believe or not believe in the coronavirus. It's just young people just don't have as much at stake right now. Mentally, it's not top of mind. And, you know, we've got sick grandparents in my family. We've got, you know, immunocompromised parents. We just are far more aware of it. And so you just wonder about 130 schools around the country, you know, with probably 200 or 300. I mean, you include medical personnel, you include all this stuff. Like, I think it's amazing that Tennessee hasn't had somebody test positive, right? Like, I think that's amazing. So if you can keep that up, whatever Tennessee's doing needs to be like sent out in a press release to every university in America. like do what they're doing, because there's a chance if you keep this up and you stay diligent and vigilant and the rest of the fans do the same, there's a chance we could get football back. But you've got to be diligent about it. And so it's amazing that's where they are. I give them a lot of credit for that. I'd like to hear more stories like that from around the country. And the problem is that it's just a rolling test field, right? Like, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to test every week, almost every day, to keep people, you know, to make sure you're sort of maximizing efficiency. So it's a great first sign, but it doesn't mean a whole lot for next week or the week after or the week after, or once they actually start contact, right? Like, that's going to change things too.
Hey, Braden, Tennessee, of course, to Governor Lee's extension of the state of emergency, you know, delaying the start of college football season for sure here in 2020 high school football. They're still going over some certain scenarios on when exactly they will get going and what the season might look like. But do you think that's going to have a major effect on recruiting in-state kids here in Tennessee?
I think it really affects the late bloomer, right? I mean, not to sound like Al Bundy, but I didn't start until my senior year, and I started my senior year and, you know, was all region my senior year and got some small offers. But if I hadn't played that year, I would never even had a chance to even like be on the field, frankly. Like, so I think if there's kids that have worked really hard to sort of, you know, build strength and develop their game and in hopes of getting a scholarship, I think those are the players that you know, are going to be much, much harder to find if you're coaching staff. And frankly, it sucks for everybody, right? It sucks for the coaching staff. It sucks for the fans. It sucks for the players. That's something that I don't think many people, myself included, have thought about, is just how many Kevin Byards are there in the world, right? Where, you know, you end up at Middle Tennessee because you know, Kentucky didn't want to offer you, and all of a sudden you turn into the best safety in the world, right? Like, if you're good, if you're that good, you'll be fine. But that's not the majority of kids who sign scholarships to go to college. And so I think there's a, you know, I hadn't even thought about that perspective, but if high schools around the country aren't able to play as many games, or, you know, if it's impacted in any way, it's really going to affect a lot of people. And that's a, you know, that's probably an angle that not many people are considering right now.
Well, and I know, Braden, we're talking to Braden Gall, Athlon Sports, that you cut your teeth on the recruiting trail, covering recruiting for a while. The fact that the dead periods keep getting extended, and I know Ari Wasserman at least is on the record with The Athletic that earlier this week saying he's doubtful that you're going to see official visits this fall for these prospective athletes and recruits. What kind of impact would that also have on just what recruiting is going to look like for 2021 and the future?
So I think that's a great question. And the two things, if you've ever worked in the recruiting world, you know that the two most the two factors that sort of dictate where a player will go almost exclusively are geographic location, so how far are you from a campus, and did you take an official visit? If you are within X amount of miles and you took an official visit, your chances of landing that player are extremely high, right? Those are the two biggest dictators of where a kid goes in general. Not doesn't apply to every kid. It's just a sort of a generality for every recruit, in general. And so if you eliminate one of those factors altogether, which is one of the most important elements of, do I feel at home here? Do I like my coaching staff? Do I like my position coach? Do I like my teammates? Do I like living on this campus? Did I, you know, and again, I get that official visits are filled with sort of like showing athletes a great time and it's a party and it's like, here are the best things that we have to offer. And then you show up as a freshman and you're getting screamed at, and you get, and there's a de-recruiting process, of course, that happens that we all know about. And it's about sales at that point, but you have to be comfortable with where you're going. You have to be comfortable with the people you're going to be around. And so if you can't do that as much, I don't know what it means as far as people that change their mind, but you can 100% look at it and say, man, if kid X had come to campus and fell in love automatically because they just were on campus with just, they just love the vibe. Like, and there's certain campuses that do that, and every player has their own perspective and their own, you know, likes and dislikes. That's 100% how kids make a decision. So, if all of a sudden you can't go to Auburn, which is sort of the only thing happening in that town, but you love that as a player and you didn't know that you were going to love that, but you get down there and you go, man, I love this kind of thing. I love this vibe. I need to go to Auburn. Well, if you never go to Auburn, you may never have any clue that you like it there or not. So it's a big factor. And I think it puts more pressure on coaches to be really, really diligent in the virtual world to make sure that they're sort of building relationships as well as they can. And, you know, you're going to have, you know, how creative can you get? Can you offer kids virtual tours, right? Like, are you FaceTiming around the campus? You know, like what can you do to show off what you got? And you know, how do you show off what campus life is like to somebody on a phone? It's hard to do.
Yeah, virtual tours are very much a thing right now. A number of the recruits that I talked to, and you're right about, you get them on campus, they fall in love. I mean, Hudson Wolf, who, you know, four-star Tennessee tight end that committed a couple weeks ago, you know, he had been on campus many, many times, but he was also on campus the day of the shutdown. I remember because I talked to him, and then that's when, you know, Greg Sankey put that first, you know, in-person ban on, you know, for the coronavirus. And so he was just at Tennessee, and that was the last thing in his mind. And so, you know, fast forward 6 weeks later when he commits, that's still fresh on his mind. So I think that helped Tennessee as well. But you look at North Carolina and, you know, just picked up another, you know, top 15 recruit in the nation. That's South 17. That was a five-star. Mac Brown's got Carolina in the top 10. I know the Carolinas are loaded for 2021. Do you envision North Carolina being a big player in recruiting for 2021?
I mean, you have to think so. I mean, Mac Brown's made a living recruiting for three decades probably now at both North Carolina, Texas, and now back at North Carolina. And as sort of the the founder and co-founder and owner and operator of the Sam Howell Fan Club, I can tell you I'm tuned in very closely to what North Carolina is doing this year, because that's a really, really good football team and could actually be a 10 or 11 win team into the ACC championship game, again, assuming all this stuff happens. So I think it's a really dangerous team to keep an eye out. It certainly doesn't help teams like Tennessee or Clemson or Georgia that recruit this area so heavily, but you know, it can't help those teams, but I don't think it's a huge factor seeing as how it's ACC. I mean, unless they become Clemson level good,
yeah, go ahead and put him on hold and we'll try to reconnect here with Braden Gall as a little bit of a phone issue. Go ahead and see if Braden's back there, Eric.
Is he there, Sam?
Okay.
Hey Braden, you there?
Sorry about that, guys.
Okay, there we go.
What's going on with the headphones?
Technology.
I didn't feed the hamster this morning. I got to go feed the hamster. So I'll I think last point on sort of the official visit thing, just real quickly. I think that you know, I think it's going to hurt the North and the powers in the Northeast and the West Coast. And I think it hurts teams that can't fly kids in. It doesn't hurt the SEC nearly as much, because you can just say, hey, hop in a car, stay safe, get up here in a couple of hours, whether it's Tuscaloosa, Auburn, Athens, Knoxville, you know, Lexington, whatever. I think if you can you can still promote unofficials to some degree, right? Like, what's going to stop somebody and their parent from driving up to take a look to drive through campus and stay in their car, right? Like, yep. You can still do your diligence as a parent and as a recruit in the unofficial world. It doesn't mean you're touring facilities or doing anything official, but you can still at least get a vibe. And you can't do that if you're Ohio State and you're recruiting kids in Florida. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I think it's a big advantage for those campuses that are, once again, within driving distance of all the prospects, which is largely the SEC footprint, Texas and Florida.
Well, and maybe that'll bring Ohio State recruiting back down to normal levels. I mean, they've been killing it as well, this recruiting cycle. So absolutely crazy. Hey, great stuff. Braden, I saw you teasing maybe some big news coming. So I wanted to ask you about that and about what's going on the Cover 2 podcast.
I'm just trolling the internet today because it's Wednesday and I feel like, you know, people need something to look at. No, there's things happening, but the Cover 2 podcast is probably going to be the first place that I'll let anybody know about what's happening. So just make sure you're subscribed, rating and reviewing as well, all those good things. So we did a giant deep dive into the Group of Five this week. So if you're really interested in finding out about App State and Cincinnati and UCF and Memphis, then check out the pod.
All right, that sounds awesome. Braden Gall from Athlon Sports and the Cover 2 podcast. We appreciate you joining us today, Braden, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Braden.